All right, there you go. Those will be due by Monday. And don't forget to check out our upcoming Shocktober promotion. It's going to be even better than last year's.
Oh, Morton Hoof just faxed us. He wants to know when we're going to get together to record the first Shocktober episode.
Oh, that's right. We invited a Morton Hoof.
Well, what's that supposed to mean? We always have Nick on for at least one of the Shocktober episodes. Something happened between him and you?
No, not exactly.
Then what is it?
Well, it's just, does he seem more evil to you lately?
No, not really. He's as evil as he's ever been.
Well, I mean, I always just thought his whole I am bigger than the devil persona was just a gimmick, you know, to scare the inhabitants of the wasteland and all that. But the last time he was here, he kept talking in a really creepy voice and asking me if I had any secrets. It was really unsettling.
Well, I don't know why you'd think that, Dave. Sounds perfectly normal to me. In fact, I'm a proud card-carrying member of a Morton Hoof's Beelzebub Club.
What? Holy shit!
Who summons the mighty Morton Hoof?
Nick! The Morton Hoof. How the hell did you do that?
Oh, hey, Dave. You're the one who summoned me here. Hey, given any thoughts about sharing your secrets?
What? No, I mean, what are you doing here anyway? What the hell was that? How did you teleport into the store in a ball of flame?
Clearly, Mike hasn't cued you in on the benefits of devoting your life to Beelzebub, the Dark One. For example, teleporting via flame is just one of the awesome abilities one can gain when they accept evil into their heart.
What?
It's true, Dave. Check this out.
Beelzebub!
Jesus! What the... Mike! You destroyed our Paw Patrol stand! Are you out of your mind?
Quite the opposite, Dave. I can light things on fire with a simple word. I can make extra cheese appear on my cheesy gordita crunches at will. Hell, I even get a pass to the best demon orgy in the wasteland.
That's the craziest thing I... Demon orgy, eh?
That's right, Dave. And it's all waiting for you if you accept the Dark One into your heart.
Extra cheese for my gordita crunches and wild sex with demons. It all sounds too good to be true. I mean, even if I wanted to, I'm sure it'd take forever to master the dark arts.
That's where you're wrong, Dave. All you have to do is watch this short 70-minute promotional video, and you'll be exploring all the cavernous demon orifices you want in no time.
Alucarda. Never heard of it, but the cover looks pretty metal, though.
What do you say, old buddy, old pal?
Yeah, Dave. Join us.
Join us. Join us.
Why not? After all, it wouldn't hurt to have a nice primer episode before we get ready for Shocktober. Why not make it Alucarda?
That's the spirit, Dave. Now, before we get started.
Yeah?
Tell me your secrets.
Hey, Mike. He doesn't show up to the orgies, does he?
In the not-too-distant future, four movie fans awaken from a nuclear nightmare, only to discover that the world is a barren, movieless wasteland. However, the destiny of our four heroes is not set. A chance discovery in Sector 2, and an unfortunate accident that rips the very soul from one of their own, will lead them down the path of bringing the lost art of cinema back to the wasteland.
Welcome to Apocalypse Video.
Well, I just want to start off the episode by saying you guys are sick. This movie was sick. It was disgusting. It was vile. And kind of cool. No, I was doing a Sandlot bit there. It was a callback to Sandlot. And cool. It was rotten. It was low. And it was cool. I'm your host, Dave. I'm joined again by evil hellspawn Nick, a.k.a. Martin Hope.
That's it. A heliophobic demon. That's a six-category devil that hates light.
That sounds like a Pacific Rim line.
Exactly. That's it. I was basically like, fastest kaiju on record.
Mike, do you want to come through the evil rift here and reveal yourself?
Beelzebub! Belphegor!
Astaroth!
I thought for sure one of you was just going to scream like the catchphrase of this movie, Alucard! Alucard! I'm just going to put my cards on the table right now, you guys. This movie may be evil. It might have turned both of you evil with its evilness. But for me, I don't know if I watched like an edited version or something, but this movie goes hard in the last 10 minutes, but I would say 90% of this movie are people screaming, Alucard, Justine, Daniela, ad nauseum. And I honestly, within the first 15 minutes of them frolicking and screaming each other's names, I was kind of over this movie a little bit.
There is a vibe to the dialogue. I had to look this up while we were watching because... At first, I was like, is this dubbed? I'm like, okay, no, it's not dubbed.
Yeah, I had that same thought, too.
But the dialogue was giving me the vibe of, it was very specific, but like a PlayStation 1 era Japanese game, like a Resident Evil cutscene kind of thing.
Yeah.
Or like a Castlevania cutscene.
Yeah.
Like, where it's like, some of the voice actors were probably like a janitor who doesn't speak English and is just like reading phonetically, like... like
doesn't this, really get like what the emotion of the scene is supposed to be.
Yeah, there's like a line in Castlevania that's like kind of famous where it's like Dracula is like, what is a man but a miserable pile of secrets? It's like a weirdly delivered line that also is kind of weirdly written, and this has that. But as any, you know, fans of Alucard out there listening, which I'm sure there's a lot, it made sense when I found out what it was, which is a Mexican movie made in Mexico with Mexican actors, but in English.
Dubbed in English.
No,
it's English.
It's that.
Okay.
It's not dubbed. It's like people who speak
people
Spanish.
Speaking in English as their second language.
So I think I think what's going on for the dub, though, is that I'm guessing the people who the dub, like the people that we hear, are not the same voices as the actors that we see. That it's probably like those old Italian productions and stuff like that with Giallo and things like Birdo with Christopher.
Where they're
like
not
that.
Even recording sound.
Yeah, yeah, I think so. That would be my guess, like where sound is secondary, where they, you know, they may even, because sometimes the words did match like the voices and that you could tell, but so you could tell it's in English, but yeah, it's definitely like I'm guessing the audio was probably an afterthought or like
and
it came
the,
later.
The line
audio's like back then, I think the big thing with them was with those kind of productions was sound is expensive. It's time consuming. It's a pain in the ass. We'll just do it all in post.
Yeah. I saw Babylon. I get it.
Having said that, though, about the sound, like there is some good effective sound design in the movie, like specifically like the devil stuff.
Oh. This seems like a fun one to, like, there was a lot of, like, goofy Foley work I bet happening.
Yeah. Okay. Can we skip to the end real quick?
We haven't even said what this movie, like, is.
I want to skip to the end. We have to say what the movie real is first. Quick, okay. Where...
Let's skip to the end.
How about this? We'll skip to the end, but I won't give any context. Okay, so at the end
did
of this
movie... Did
you
even say the title of the movie? Like, aside from her name?
I'm not even going to say what we're watching right now.
Oh, my God.
No, I'm talking about the end of Alucarda, the very, very end with the credits. Spoiler, the end of this movie ends with fire. No, that's what I mean. I'm not going to give context. It ends with fire, and you get that crickly kind of sound that you hear, but eventually, very quickly, you realize, I'm pretty sure that's just like a potato chip bag wrapper.
Potato chips.
You know, like...
Yeah. And it just keeps going. Like, you can tell, you can imagine the person just crumpling it and crumpling it.
Yes!
Crumpling.
Yeah.
Like, was that like an 11th hour thing? Like, oh shit, we lost all of our Foley sound effects. What are we going to do? And then, like, the wolf comes in. He comes into the room. He looks around, like Harvey Keitel. He's like, I need a microphone and a bag of chips. We'll get this done. No, get rid of the chips. I just need the wrapper. I just need the bag. We're talking about Alucarda, folks.
Alucarda, 1977. I saw this described as a nuns. I can't even say it.
Nunsploitation.
Nunsploitation film. Exploitation of nuns.
Yeah, have you? Well, I mean, we can talk about that too, because it does dabble in that, which. One description I read that it was basically like the most astonishing since Ken Russell's The Devils, which is probably the most famous nunsploitation, but either even recently like Benedetta. But yeah, I mean, it definitely has that. And there's a couple scenes with hysterical nuns and stuff like that. And I think that's the stuff that I like, but
reminded me of the original nunsploitation film, Haksan.
Oh yes, of course. Haksan. How can we forget? But Dave is, I think I agree with Dave in like the way that there's just a lot of yelling, a lot of people screaming each other's names. But I think, like, to me, there's enough, I really like the atmosphere of a lot of this stuff. Mm-hmm. Like, the set design, I think, is probably my favorite thing of this movie.
Yeah.
Especially this, there's this convent where it primarily takes place, and it almost seems like the convent is also a cavern. And it's like just, it feels like a cave where they're all in. And then there's a church section or a chapel section, and the whole wall is covered with like Jesus iconography, but like carved into this mud wall. It looks disgusting.
It looked like the Predator had been in there and hung up a bunch of like skinned bodies, 'cause it had that same vibe.
This whole movie is gross. Like, everything about this movie is gross. And even the, not just the set design, like, the set design looks disgusting, but the costumes, like, the costumes on this are gnarly. Like, I don't know what is going on with the nun outfits. Maybe we could talk about it, but the nuns look like they are covered in, like, bloody bandages the whole time.
I think it's because they're consistently whipped throughout the movie.
Well, yeah,
you may
so
not
I
see
think-
it, but...
I think in movie, it's because, yeah, there's a number of, I think there's two or three scenes where we see them, like, flagellating themselves.
And they say that, too, right? Like, oh, yeah, we're doing our morning flagellation.
And not just like a little flagellation. This is, like, some gnarly wounds that we see.
Yeah, it's pretty brutal.
You were looking at the Sears catalog again, weren't you, Father?
So we get a number of that. So I think in context of the movie, there's blood stains. But I also think there's a sexual component that comes across in the unedited version, especially. And I think it has to do with, you know, these nuns being bloodstained with like menstruation and stuff like that. I think that there's just like this sexuality that the movie's kind of bringing in too.
This movie is like definitely. Like homoerotic, like I guess I would say, like the movie basically kicks off with Justine, who's sort of the protagonist, is like arriving at this convent.
Being driven by, like, the most overzealous wagon driver I've ever seen in my life. He's like, it's just these two poor donkeys. He's like, ho, ya, whooshy, whatcha. And they're going so slow. But this guy, nonetheless, is like, yeah, whoosha, hoo, ha, she, ha.
He's was really I the getting only into one the who role.
Thought this was weird?
Hey, the girl is alive! Ha ha! Ha ha! Ha ha! Ha ha!
Ha yeah, he constantly, ha, cha, ha, cha. All right, sorry. I just wanted to point that out because I thought that guy was overdoing it. No,
give him his due, you know.
he was giving it his all.
Yeah, I was Donkey Whipper in Alucarda. You may have heard of it. So Justine goes to the convent. I don't think you really know, like, why. I don't know if they ever say why, but some
tragedy. Oh, because her parents died.
I know it's I saw that in the summary of the movie, but I didn't remember that, like, spelled out anywhere.
Well, they're both orphans, right? Her and Alucarda.
Well, Alucarda is because that's the, well, there's a lot of stuff that's kind of like, the movie doesn't really care about connecting events at all, it seems like, but
basically I should just say this, so we're not, like, jumping around too much. So Justine goes to the convent because her parents died or whatever, and she is her roommate is this woman Alucarda, and Alucarda is like basically immediately like, I love you, we will die together, make a blood pact with me, and
make
she
a blood
does.
Pact where we scream each other's names ad nauseum.
And she does make a blood pact over like a crypt of a body in the
within about five
in
minutes
the compound. Yeah, within about 5 minutes.
She has like Alucarda has like heavy goth girl energy. Like, yeah. Hey, let's go into this crypt. Ooh, I wonder what's in this.
She's
grave.
all black hair, and everything.
And her eyes are always bugging out. Like, you know,
so she's introduced as like, let's pack. Talk about secrets. What secrets do you have? And oh, David's... here's some secrets. Let's find some more secrets.
These are things I never show anyone. These are secrets. Every day I find a new secret. It just happens. It comes to me. This, for instance. It means I like you. And this. Do you know how small creatures love each other?
No.
I'll show you. I'll take you to the garden, to the woods. Everything is there. What's that?
I've never seen anything like them before.
It's one more secret. One is identical to the other. Just like an image in a mirror. Like you and me. Let's find more secrets.
After the blood pact, they become possessed. And that's basically the movie. Is like they're possessed in the nunnery. And
it's them against the nuns. And the nuns are like,
evil! There's some hijinks.
Yeah.
We telegrammed Dr. Sam Loomis from Haddonfield. He will be here, but we don't know if we'll be able to make it until his arrival.
You got the classic, like, the doctor's trying to fix the exorcism versus the priest trying to fix their exorcism. Yeah. And they're like, no, this is a holy space, not for science. And the doctor's like, you superstitions, you're killing them, blah, blah, blah.
We should point out this movie came out 4 years after The Exorcist, so you definitely get heavy Exorcist vibes.
Yeah,
it's them doing their version of The Exorcist. But to the movie's to the movie's credit, they do interject some things, like you did mention the homoeroticism and the church against science and all that stuff. Like, I think the themes here in the movie are sound. But for me personally, the execution, and again, some of this might be due to the fact that I'm pretty certain somehow, unlike you two, I watched an edited version of the movie. So maybe some of those cut scenes, like
there's one scene that we know you.
I watched it on a Paco tube.
And I got the true version.
How did you watch it, Nick?
I watched the DVD, actually, that I have in my secret stash.
So that's what we watched together?
Yeah, we watched it together.
It's from your secret stash. Okay, I thought you were going to say you grabbed it off the shelf, because I was about to say, like, that really goes to show. It's like, I know most of the time streaming is more convenient, but they don't always have the uncut version, man.
I don't even think it's like an uncut versus cut. I think a Paco Tube maybe just cut it down edited however they down. Wanted. Yeah.
Well, so I perused the Apoco tube in preparation to see what the differences were so I can know what was cut out. And there is one scene, it's the exorcism scene, that does appear to be edited specifically differently than the DVD version, the one that we watched. Because if you remember, what's her name, Juliet? Or Justine. She's stabbed a number
her
of times.
900 times, Nick. How did you forget her name?
I was too busy remembering Alucard. Dr. Usher. And then all those demon names. Elphegor. Beelzebub.
I would say half the dialogue in this movie is just people saying names.
But there's a scene at the exorcism scene where Justine is stabbed a number of times by the priest or whatever guy in the cloak. And in the apocotib version, it's the same shot of her being stabbed, replayed, I think, three different cuts of the same cut, though. But in our the DVD version, it's different angles. So I think it's actually an edited version. And also, Dave was deprived of all the nudity, which is why Mike and I are evil now.
Well, son of a bitch. I wanted to be evil, too.
Were you deprived of all nudity? Like, there was a lot of nudity in this movie.
No, there was. I think I saw... The only real nudity I saw was at the end when Justine comes back. She's, like, covered in blood, and you see her.
That was it?
But you only really see her from, like, the back and the sides. You don't
You must have, like, seen a really watered out... There was nudity, like, throughout this movie. Like, a lot.
It's about 10 minutes worth. In total.
Of just nudity.
But that's he probably did just watch like all the gnarly parts cut out.
You know, I basically watched the version that the Cinema Paradiso guy, the priest in that, would have edited. Like, all right, this is the version you guys can watch.
So I do know that Dave did see, well, two things. He saw the two best scenes, in my opinion, which is the beheading of the undead nun, which was pretty cool. And then he also saw the long shot, which I think is too good for the movie. Like that shot doesn't belong in the movie almost.
Did you see the when it's raining blood?
He saw there's one cut. So you know how we see like numerous light color changes of the raining and then it looks like blood. So Dave didn't see any of that.
Wow.
Son of a
because
bitch.
He didn't see the ceremony. So, you know, he didn't see the ceremony with the guy with the goat head because there's an orgy
like,
in the background.
They're doing like, so when Justine, I don't know, maybe this is fleshed out a little more in the uncut version, but the version I saw on ApocoTube, aka YouTube, they make their pact in the crypt, and then like there's some light coming through like one of the windows in the back, and then suddenly like this giant guy with a goat head appears like in the middle, like, and that's kind of it.
Like, God.
There's a whole ceremony, but it's cool. It is a cool, great scene, actually. It's very, you know, the old...
That's like the stuff I liked about this movie was those kinds of... Man,
damn. So you can understand why my thoughts on the movie are a little bit like it kind of sucked.
Yeah.
Well, I don't think it sucked, but I don't think it's like...
Not great.
It's not amazing, but I think there's enough there to make it like a really fun watch. Actually,
yeah,
I missed all the meat. It looks like got was the damn frolicking in the grass and the Alucard, Justine, that yellow.
Yeah,
in your version, like instead of the orgy where they like weaving, basket weaving or something, or like some wholesome activity, like riding on a tandem bike.
It's actually just them praying the rosary.
Yeah, I literally just watched like a mass. Like they plopped the camera down in the middle of a Catholic church, and I saw mass for an hour.
And then all of a sudden, in last 10 minutes, there was like fire and blood and everything.
Yeah,
and
I was like what happened? There's no connective tissue with this piece of crap.
Well, it's funny because I still think that there's not really a whole lot of connective tissue.
No, it is
weird. It's very threadbare. But I do think that there's some great atmosphere. And honestly, to me, you still saw the best stuff. It's just that you were deprived of some more flashy stuff.
It kind of feels like you got a burger, like a bacon cheeseburger, and it had the cheese and it had the bacon, but it didn't have a hamburger patty in it.
Like there was some meat juice left
you
over.
Cool accoutrements that you really want, but you missed the meat. You missed the blood rain. If you didn't see the blood rain, What are we doing here?
Well, I mean, I said, like, the last 10 minutes of this movie goes really hard. Like, when she's just like, buzz above, and people are bursting into flames.
I'd say is it's sort of like that stuff is sort of sprinkled throughout the whole movie, too.
See, that would have helped this movie immensely for me, because otherwise, like, it's very loaded at the end of the movie, and a lot of the tops, like, 90% of the movie that I saw was just, like, people frolicking and like, you know, Alucarda giving her goth stares and just like being shuffled from one place to another where it's like, what are we going to do with this girl? I don't know. And just it was kind of just meandering, I thought.
Did you see when they were like, when she was like strapped up on the cross, like
that
naked,
was cool. And they were, like, I love when they bring her in. They're like, okay, Alucarda. They don't even really set it up like they're going to bring her in to like do anything negative. It's like, we're bringing you into this room. And then she comes in and she sees Justine splayed out like on this cross. She's like, no! And it's such a bait and switch. It's like, okay, and they don't say this in the movie, but the vibe is like, okay, Alucarda, let's just go to a morning mass and nothing unusual is happening. Oh my God!
Okay, so there's a shot that I want to ask you about this, Mike. But there's a shot because Dave when Justine is splayed out on the cross. There's a scene where Priest is like, "We will reveal the devil's mark," and they strip her nude.
You know, yeah, and I didn't see that.
So it's fully her. But then there's a scene or a shot rather at after this where it's like after I think it's after Justine is dead and it pans down and like her bush is fully like on the side of the shot, but it's also has the nun face in below as she's like praying and mourning. But I thought this was a great shot.
Oh,
and actually,
I thought it was going to be like the devil, like the mark of the devil had been like.
No, that was the funny thing about that, because he says we'll reveal the mark of the devil, and then there's no mark, and they don't address it.
You're right. There isn't.
Lame.
I think she just dies, doesn't she?
Yeah, I mean, they just poke her to death. Justine. And then Justine, yeah. So you got to see her get poked, but she's poked in a number of different spots, and the shots are different in the uncut version.
I can't believe I missed the extra pokes.
Yeah.
Yeah, the pokes weren't really that important.
But I think that the movie, I mean, I love the set design, especially like I said, the crypt of the church. And then also, I like the doctor's house. Like it was like, it was cool. It was very, how would I say? Like, kind of like out of, Frankenstein, just these big, yeah. This big steps and stuff like that. And then I love like, you know, you have, this, I like the blind daughter, her character, because
Daniela.
I like the way that she's. I wish she was actually a little bit more part of the movie, because when she's with Alucarda at the end, I like that scene, that dynamic between her and Alucarda, and if like, you know, maybe she's gonna push him off the edge or whatever. And then I thought that, you know, her scene when she falls she's kind of rolling down the steps at the end is kind of funny too.
Did you? Okay, so let's talk about the titular Alucarda character. I couldn't take her seriously. Like, she's, you know, she has a devil in her, but to me, she just seemed like somebody's goth sister or something. Like, she's so intense. Look at her. She's so intense and, like I hate everything. And, like, this is stupid.
I couldn't take
her seriously.
You're not supposed to take any of this movie seriously, though. Like,
well, no, but I would assume the movie, I'm supposed to be, like, scared of Alucarda. That's what they're going for.
I don't
she's
know.
Evil.
It's just,
but
like,
she just, like, she has, like, this almost, like, a wry smile on her face whenever she does like the devil eyes, and I couldn't help but chuckle. I think
she like fits it. I liked her in it. Like the whole movie's like, it's not, it's like, it's just like gross and like, look at it, this isn't this like weird. I think that's all they're like going for, really.
Well,
like, I don't know if you're like, there's not like a character here really, other than just like creepy girl.
Oh, beautiful. Well, there's not a character here really. I mean, they're not really going for anything. It's just like, isn't this shit gross? Look at
the genre is nunsploitation.
Okay, that's fair. And as you say that, like, I really wish I could have seen the scene that you were describing earlier, where it's just like you see like a girl's pubic hair and then below like a nun's head, like Like that.
There was like an orgy scene where the devil, you know, someone in a goat's head, I assume is the devil, is like walking around the orgy, like approvingly nodding and like pushing people's butts.
He's helping some thrusting.
Oh, that sounds like Midsommar.
And there's like a woman in the middle who's like who, I think it's God, is hurting her, and her like neck starts bleeding and stuff. Like the whole movie, I think what I'm getting at is like I think it's more about the visual spectacle and like not so much
I got like a neutered version. I feel like I watched like the family video version.
What's that video rental store in back in the old times in Mesa?
Family video.
Oh, yeah. They would sell like edited versions of. Yeah. You totally got the Alucard at the family video.
Maybe I could have enjoyed this movie if I could have seen the freaking spectacle. Like, if a movie's all spectacle, you got to see the spectacle. And I missed it.
Here's my theory. Because I think all of Dave's complaints are valid, but the thing is, he didn't get to see any of the good stuff. Basically, it sounds like. So that's sad. I looked on
Apocoboxed, and your rating, while lower than mine, was not significantly so. Well, if we'll put our cards on the table, you ranked it 2.5 out of 5 stars, 2.5 stars out of 5.
If only because the ending went so hard. It was so lopsided. Like, the ending was fun, enjoyable. Everything else was just whatever.
I gave it 3, which is like not a world of difference there. But I think the edited stuff is definitely a half star worth of content.
If I had seen what you guys are describing, I probably would have given it a 3 too. This would have been a 3-3-3.
3-3-3. Oh, we could have had a 3-3-3. But yeah, I mean, you did.
See, it's only half of 666, so it doesn't go full 666. I'm sorry, Nick. You were about to say.
It sounds like you missed kind of the meat and potatoes of the good stuff. Because I think a lot of the stuff that you're saying, Dave, does hold up in terms of like what is doing wrong or bad or whatever. Like, because the plot is so threadbare. I don't think it cares about connecting the characters. I don't think these characters, like, Alucarda's character, like, I go back and forth on her on, like, whether she's, like, good hysterical or just annoying hysterical. like, there's some times where she's dancing almost, and I go back and forth. Oh. I'm like, okay, this is... Sometimes it works, sometimes it doesn't. Like, it shifts within the same scene. So, I don't know. She's not the greatest.
I feel like it would have been, and maybe this is part of this, maybe is hurt a little bit by the fact that it's dubbed. Is that like, and maybe if they'd had a better actress in there, but it's just, I feel like those scenes when she's like just like twirling and like, I feel like the first time she does that, Justine is like weirded out by it. Like, what the? You know, and I feel like those scenes could have been good because I feel like what they're trying to do in those scenes is like to show, is she really possessed or is she maybe just sort of like, you know, I don't know,
frolicking
or what? Because that's a big angle of exorcism movies, like, you know, is she possessed or is it like mental illness or something? And also they add the extra wrinkle in this movie, like, you know, maybe she's just like gay and the church is like, no, none of that, you know what I mean? And that messed her up too, like, you know, I don't know.
Did you see the part? Okay, now a lot of this I'm just wondering like what you saw. Did you see the part where there was like the confessional that Alucard was giving to the priest and like broke through the confessional screen and was like trying to grab his, you know, his privates?
No.
Yes, you did, Dave. I checked and that scene is in there.
I'm not what you may think, Father.
The facts were explained to me, my child. You have sinned.
I don't recall anything wrong.
Liars rot in hell for eternity. I know for sure you are doing wrong. Don't miss this opportunity that has been granted you. You can cleanse your soul here and now.
Yes, perhaps I have done wrong. I did not lie. I love life. With...
Go on.
With Justine. She came close to me. I loved Justine. And... You call yourself blessed... And believe in the heavenly armies and worship death. I worship life You worship death. I loved you, Steen. You left to kill. You should know. We have made a pact and seal it with our blood. Justine and I, we are not to be blamed. You are, with a black cover over your strong body. You are ashamed of it. You are afraid of life. Yet you would like to have me, wouldn't you? Well, take me. Take off that filthy robe.
It is dark, but it's when, so Alucarda goes to confession, and that's when she's like saying this blasphemous stuff, like, you're hiding your strong body
beneath that black cloak. Yeah, yeah.
And then she reaches through the window, and then it's hard to see on the Paco tube version
because it's very pixelated. It looks like somebody took a camcorder and videotaped a VHS version of the movie. This wasn't my fault. I didn't know.
Yeah, it's partly my fault. I'm sorry.
It's kind of a hard movie to get.
I mean, you did pick. This is an obscure pick.
This is an obscure pick, and of course, it's mine.
In reading about it, there were like people know about this movie. Unsurprisingly, maybe Guillermo del Toro is a big fan of this movie. He's been on record of that, which is kind of cool. I could definitely see that, like a young Guillermo del Toro watching this, being like, "Whoa."
Well, and you have to also remember that this is a Mexican film production, and so he would have been more intimately involved with, or not involved, but he possibly would have seen this theaters and stuff like that. So it makes perfect sense. And I think there's some cool atmosphere stuff to hear. Like, for example, the first church scene when the priest is kind of shouting out all these sins and stuff like that, and it's like cutting to not just Alucard and Justine, but the other people. And this girl rises up and she's like, save me from burning or something like that.
That scene I enjoyed.
I really like that scene.
That's one thing, like, for me, like, that's one of my big bugaboos is religious fanatics. Like, that stuff freaks me out. Because there's no reasoning with a crazy religious psycho.
Yeah.
Yeah, and this movie definitely does, I think a good job with two scenes specifically, that church scene and then also the flagellation scene of, like, you know, presenting these, like, you know, very medieval-esque, you know, religious folks.
And again, I don't know how much, you know, if this is due to the cut version that I watched, but during that scene, the flagellation scene, and we mentioned the lack of connective tissue, I didn't really know what they were being whipped for, if anything.
I think it's a daily whipping. I think that's like something that they just do every day.
Okay. Where do I sign up for church services, Mike? It sounds great.
I think that's part of their like faith is that they whip themselves. It's like a thing that happened.
Yeah.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Sure. Ain't religion great, guys?
It's a healthy outlet for your emotions. You know,
exactly.
Don't go to therapy. Just whip yourself, and then, you know, you're so bloody you just have to wear bandages every day. It's great. It's a great lifestyle.
I imagine Alucarda, like, before all this went down, she's like, I've been having feelings for this woman, and the priest is just like, oh, okay, well, give yourself an extra flagellation for that. Say a couple Our Fathers, Hail Marys, and you'll all be good to go. It's like, I don't think you're listening. No, I got it.
If it persists more than a week, just cut your hand off.
Yeah, whip the gay away.
And if that doesn't work, come back here. We'll strap you up and we'll cut your head off, and then everything will be right as rain.
Yeah, we'll kill you.
Then, everything will be right as blood rain.
Not gonna have any gay thoughts if you're dead.
We'll poke you.
We'll poke four little tiny cuts into you, and you'll die. Yeah, this movie. This Anytime. Movie is we should say, like, even the massive extended cut that we saw was like an hour and 10 minutes or something, an hour 15.
It's about 70 minutes or so.
It is. I'll say this for the movie, at least it's short. Like, and again, to be fair to it, like, I really wish I could have seen the uncut version, because maybe, like, I think you guys might be onto something. Like, those extra scenes, like, of what you described sprinkled throughout an already short length movie, like, I think would have improved it a lot.
I think it helped get your attention, like, because some of the stuff, it's almost like soap opera-y at times, like,
and that's what was kind of killing it for
me. And you know, your eyes start to like glaze, but then all of a sudden there's like a person in a goat head, like with blood rain and an orgy, and you're like, okay, well, this has my attention. Like, this is something. Like,
yeah, so. It's funny because when I previewed the Apocalypse 2 version, well, actually, I pretty much watched the whole thing again just to double check. But I didn't think it was as big of a deal. But talking about it and hearing about it, the differences, I could see why it would really impact you.
Well, and you had watched the uncut version prior to watching it, too, right?
Yeah.
So you kind of already had the context. Well, I don't know about the context.
Well, I was specifically looking for what it was going to be missing because I knew the runtime was different, but, I mean, I didn't know if it was just credits or something like that.
Dave mentioned that the film quality was bad. Although, like, in the version we saw, like, it's grainy. Like, it's certainly not.
It's not that good. I think it's
part of the appeal. Like, I don't want a pristine 4K version of this. I want it to be like disgusting. Like I want a DVD of this or like a VHS or something. Ideally VHS.
Where it feels like a bootleg that you're watching, like you weren't supposed to see this.
Right. But like what was the difference in the quality in the Apocalypse 2 version?
It was very pixelated.
I mean, yeah, the YouTube video is like super compressed even more than the DVD, but the DVD is also not in good shape either.
Yeah, no, it was not in good shape, I would say. But it was definitely like one of the things that, like, we started it and I was like, immediately just like looking at the film quality, like it's going to be you know what kind of movie you're up for, like when you see like what this looks like.
Yeah, it's the thing about this movie, I'm wondering if it's deserving of like a cult classic, because I think it definitely has a reputation. That's how I've known about this movie for a long, long time, and it's always been on my radar, and I'm like, yeah, I'm going to check it out one day. And I think that a lot of, especially in the physical media community, a lot of people want this movie released on Blu-ray because it doesn't have a DVD, but it's one of the more well-known DVDs on the from the label that put it out back
then. They release it on VHS.
On VHS.
Speaking to whether or not, I mean, I would assume this probably is a cult classic, but to speak to what makes it a cult classic, like, oftentimes it's just because, like, you'll see movies on the Criterion Channel or whatever, Criterion Collection, and they're hailed as important films because they started a thing. And that maybe that's a case here. Like, maybe this is an exercise. Again, this is just speculation on my part, but I feel like oftentimes whenever a movie garners cult classic status, it's not even necessarily because it's a great movie, but because it started something that would become like a trend or something, you know what I mean? So by that logic, you know, it technically is like a classic because it started the thing. Maybe it didn't do it best, but it did start it. And I'm wondering if the core that this movie is maybe like it's a movie that took exorcism movies and whatnot and introduced different elements, like you mentioned, like the idea of being gay and stuff, and plugging that in to an exorcism movie in the church and science and all that stuff and all those themes going on. Maybe this was the first to do that. I don't know, just speculation. But I kind of appreciated that some of those elements were in the movie. It gave it a little bit, like I said before, like I could taste the residual meat juices that were in the bun, the version I saw, but I didn't get the meat, unfortunately.
I think that it's, I don't know if I'd say like cult classic, but it's something that if you're into horror movies, especially like old grimy horror movies, I'd watch it for sure. And I would recommend this to a horror fan, you know, like Fandango. What's the magazine, the horror magazine that's like really
Fangoria?
Famous? Fangoria. Yeah. If you're like interested in Fangoria, I would watch this movie kind of thing, you know?
Yeah. I think I agree with that a lot actually, because as I was watching this, I was thinking a lot about the other movies that I've seen in the nunsploitation genre. I think I've seen the three biggest ones.
What would those be?
So for sure, the biggest one I think is Ken Russell's The Devils, which is another infamously hard to find movie nowadays.
Because it's so fucked up, right?
It's right, so profane, and it mocks God at such a degree that it will ensure your passage to hell. That's probably the biggest one. And that one is for sure, I would say, a cult classic. There's an older movie from Poland called Mother Joan of Angels, which is a very like kind of like Bergman-esque actually dunsploitation movie, which I think is really good. And then finally, I think some we would probably all have at least heard of Verhoeven's Benedetta from a couple years ago. So, and I think that this movie
does Black Narcissus count?
Oh, that's a good pull. I would say that's tangentially like, you know, in that same realm.
That's not a horror movie though.
No, but it's are we exploiting nuns? I feel like is the category like,
and because they do go mad.
One of them.
So, well, that I mean, the madness was taking hold. So I think that's an interesting poll. I guess the whole conversation
idea of, like the church, like maybe church isn't so good for you. You know, like maybe there's a lot of fucked up shit the church does to people. I don't know. Well, no, I do know it's fucked up shit. But we see it in Black Narcissus, and we see it in this movie, Alucard. But I guess it gets into semantics, like what genres it falls into. I suppose.
I think the Alucarda stands out for the satanic stuff that it has going on. I think it does that pretty cool. Like the orgy ceremony thing is badass. Like that's a very good example of 70s satanic sleaze, I think.
And it really, no joke, reminded me a lot of Hexon. There's a scene like that in Hexon where they are like, so like, oh, the witches at night will like go and have orgies with the devil. And it was like very similar vibes.
I can't believe I missed the orgy. Like, I feel like, honestly, as we were watching the movie, I had a thought like, I want to get Alucarda as a ringtone, someone yelling Alucarda. But to get back to what we were talking about, like, I did kind of get the sense at the very end of like how blasphemous the movie was getting at the very end, when like you see all these crosses like burst into flames and like hold on it, you know what I mean, and all the like the church burning down and stuff, and like I did even in the neutered version I saw, I did get the blasphemous tones that the movie was going for, and even though I'm not a religious person, like it was kind of affecting. You're like, whoa, like, and again, there's something to be said from movies of this era that so often nowadays you don't see anymore, where they will just hold on a shot. You know what I mean? Like they don't feel the need to cut every 3 seconds. They hold on a shot and let you take in a visual. And even though I got a neutered version of this movie at the very end, like the last 10 minutes of this movie, it was effective.
Yeah, that ending is cool. I think it reminded me a lot of Carrie. So that's kind of what I was getting. But it was cool because she would shout a demon's name and then someone would like, catch on fire.
It was cool.
And you saw like people running around like on fire for real.
Which for prolonged periods of time, like periods of time where I'm like, okay, guys, is this a union job? Like, I don't think put him out. Like you can't be on fire for that long. The suit he's wearing will only last. And that was another thing. Like so often when you see, now I'm all getting all jazzed up. The last 10 minutes of good movie that I saw from this, like usually in a movie, when someone gets put on fire for a prolonged period of time, it's so obvious that they're wearing like a gigantic thick fire suit, you know?
Yeah. But something I see a lot in movies is like they'll be on fire and you see it for a long time, but it's like slow motion or something.
Yes.
This is was like not slow normal motion. Speed. They're like running back and forth, just like.
Well, it looks like regular clothes. It didn't look like a fire suit. Like there's no thickness to it. Those look like those nuns were getting exploited, and they were on fire, baby. No, you gotta roll around on the ground more and writhe in pain, or it's not gonna read on camera.
Satan really won't get here if you don't run around on fire.
This is the showstopper moment. We got to get it on film, guys. Just, you know.
The only good scene in the cut version.
It's like Robert Zemeckis says, pain is temporary, film is forever. Now we're going to light you on fire again for this.
Is that what he said when he, like, before he scanned Tom Hanks for the Polar Express?
Yeah, dead CGI eyes are forever.
Pain is temporary, Tom. The Polar Express is forever.
And speaking of fire, I also really loved the way that The Jesus statue like gets catches on fire too. And it's just like burning.
Isn't that the last shot of the movie?
It catches on fire, and then at the end, that's all it shows.
Yeah, and then you hear a crucifixion burn it like on fire.
You get what sounds like real fire sounds, and then that transitions into potato chip bag.
There was like multiple parts of this movie that I wanted to pause and go to Nick and be like, "This would be a good like metal album cover, wouldn't it?" That's like an incredible one.
Another person who would very much like this movie, if you really like sound clips from spooky movies or satanic movies, there's a couple really good lines from this movie that you could borrow.
Oh, like to put in like a metal song?
Yeah, like a sound clip or some metal or industrial or something like that. Especially Justine. So when I think the best lines that I like are when the mother superior or the nurse or the nun, she's like giving lessons, and she and Alucard is whispering to Justine's ear, and they're like, "Repeat what I said," and then they basically repeat blasphemous versions of what she was saying.
That was fun.
Justine, Alucarda, I trust that you have been listening.
Yes, sister.
Then you can repeat what I've just read. Well, Alucarda? Stand up, child.
And this is what the devil does. He grants us virtues to expand his kingdom, the only valid one.
God, with his lack of knowledge, does not understand this truth and opposes it with false thoughts and prayers. God, silence!
It's like there's this one line I loved. I wrote it down. It's like, God, with his lack of knowledge, does not understand this truth. Very cool.
Yeah.
Beelzebub is evil. Or Beelzebub is cool, I mean, is awesome.
Grants us virtues.
Just where they're like screaming like Satan.
Yeah, they both start yelling Satan. That was cool. That gave me some goosebumps.
Oh, there was one line. Speaking of lines, there was one that stood out for me that I really enjoyed. I can't remember who's talking to who, but I think it's the priest they're talking to someone, and it's like, "You mean the devil?"
Isn't there like a recoil shot from the nurses as they like flinching at the name or something?
The girl's state of grace could have been changed by nobody else, only by the devil.
The devil! Father Lázaro!
I love the doctor, like after he's investigating Justine, and they're like, "No, doctor, you don't get it. She's possessed. Your medicine has nothing effective here." And he like goes home, and you see him like reading a book that's just like called like Satan, and he's like looking at it, and then he just like shakes his head and is like, "Nonsense.
Ridiculous. Rubbish.
Oh, doctor, your compassion and science has no place here. It's all evil."
It's so funny though, because he's like, you think it's kind of setting up to be like, is it going to be ambiguous? Like, what's going on? But like, it's kind of like the next scene is like, walk in and she's like, "Beelzebub," fire. Like, there's no
that's
way.
Again, that made me laugh. Again, I thought maybe it was just a symptom of the neutered version, because it goes. The doctor turns so fast. He's like, "Well, this is all ridiculous." I mean, and then next scene, she's evil.
I would.
It's so funny when he turns. But when he gives his speech, he's like, "I went through school for years, and they taught us about all the superstitions that you believe and all the things we need to reject. But now that I see that, I am so wrong." It's like he's having, it's so funny to me the way
ordinarily in a movie, that would be an arc for the character. Like he goes through the course of the movie, like, "Oh, this is ridiculous." And maybe he starts to see some things that sows a little bit of doubt, and it adds up. But well, instant, like, "No, okay, you're right. It's the devil."
No, you missed the orgy scene, Dave. The orgy scene is the linchpin, because you see the doctor is at the orgy, and he's kind of like thinking, maybe there's something to this.
Oh, you're making a joke. Okay.
Yeah, I'm making a joke.
I thought it might have been a thing where it's like maybe a little bit made a little more sense if he was somehow at the orgy and like tied up or something. I don't know.
Yeah, he's like he's participating in the orgy, and he's like, maybe there is something to this whole Satan thing.
wait a minute,
orgy guy.
Maybe the naked goat head man has a point.
You don't use safe words? What kind of evil madness is this? Orgies are one thing, but you have to have a safe word. My God.
You guys are living in the dark ages.
Like, you cut to a scene of, like, the doctor with a book that just says orgy on it. He's like, oh, rubbish. Oh,
right. Nonsense.
It's missionary, and that's it. Do you hear me?
That's what they taught me at the Doctor Academy.
Well, is there anything else to say on Alucard?
Great cobwebs, you know. Great. I know we mentioned it, but really, great set design. I, like, want to hose the whole movie down in a good way.
Well, I mean, if we're getting into recommendations, it sounds like I might recommend, believe it or not, the uncut version of this movie, because I think the version I watched
could have been greatly improved,
if, like, some of that gnarly imagery was sprinkled throughout to hold your attention and really pull you in more. Because honestly, most of what I got was frolicking in the grass, Alucarda, like, twirling around, like, la 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 la, you know, and it's people saying each other's names, like, incessantly, and it really hurt the movie for me. If I could have seen a guy wearing a goat mask pushing on someone's ass to, like, you know, encourage more penetration during an orgy scene,
that
maybe
happens.
I would have enjoyed this movie
that,
more.
That happens. It's documented. You did miss that. So
Nick,
I think it's safe to reject the Paco tube.
Yeah, don't watch
version.
It. Don't bother with that.
Yeah, so if you're listening to this, don't watch it on a Paco tube. But the DVD may still be out there. So,
and I was able to find it as well. In doing research, it's an app I've never heard of, which is a great sign. But I just did the thing where, like, searching on like a Roku to be like, what, or a Paco or whatever, to be like, where is this available? And it was some app called Fossum, like awesome with an F, and it was like a Tubi or something, you know,
okay,
but it was
okay.
There. It played and
it was
the same version of the DVD.
How do you spell that, Mike?
It's awesome, but there's an F.
Oh, it just, okay. Okay. I thought maybe he was doing a thing like faux fossum.
No,
fossum?
No.
I don't know.
I think it's supposed to be like free and awesome.
Okay.
This is not an ad for the service. I will probably never be using it again.
Do you guys think there's like a buzzer somewhere that's going off, like, someone's talking about our app online.
Yeah. When I downloaded it to see if it was on there, I'm sure, like, alarm bells were going off.
Someone is streaming something on our service.
It's Alucarda.
We have our first viewer. Well, Nick, would you recommend Alucarda?
I think Mike summed up the people to whom I would recommend this perfectly. Like, if you're into Fangoria, if you're into horror movies in general, I think it's a good watch. There's definitely enough here to enjoy it. I don't think it's you don't need to rush out to see it, in my opinion. But it's definitely worth a watch.
If you're doing some spooky movie viewing for Halloween, like, if you hadn't seen this, Nick, this is like, I would recommend it to you. Friend of the show, I'd recommend it to Madeline.
I would say, like, going into this, that I would have said that this seems like aggressively Nick's shit, this movie.
Yeah, it's almost my shit, but not aggressively my shit.
Ah,
yeah,
okay.
Yeah, not, it's, yeah, missing, okay, the aggressive, but I think it would be safe to suggest and assume that about it. For me, yes. So, and I thought the same too. So
this
but yeah,
would,
so,
in the, you know, is this or is this not Nick's shit dichotomy, it does pass the test of, like, would I project this in a dingy bar? And yes,
oh yeah,
I would.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, if at a goth club, for sure. Like, this would make a great watched at
it,
the
it
bar.
Passed that check, which, or passed that test, which is
well.
The
there
most
you
important.
Go. Like you guys mentioned, maybe there may be some lines in this movie that like someone would use and like as to sample like in a death metal song. This is a perfect movie to play in a goth bar because like finally those scenes with Alucard twirling would really benefit from no sound. Just like well, the only sound you would see equipped accompanied with it would be the sound of the goth music playing in the club you're in.
That'd be kind of cool.
Yeah.
That would be cool.
It would be cool. That is a great idea. So there's plenty. I mean, I honestly think like this movie, I can see why it has its reputation, honestly. I think it definitely checks a lot of boxes that, you know, are for different kinds of horror fans. So I think there's some definite meat here. So as long as you get the meat, that's the only thing. So.
Yeah.
Definitely.
I agree with you, Nick. 100%.
Like if you can make a trip over to Citadel to screen it in Martin Hoof's theater, uncut DVD, check that out. If you can't make it over to Citadel, definitely recommend downloading the awesome app Fossum. It's the new Tubi, folks.
I don't know if I could recommend downloading the app, but it is
it might
there.
Give you a virus. We're not sure.
Yeah. Remains to be seen.
I can't watch anything else. It's just Alucard forever now.
My Roku is smoking right now. and I don't mean that smoke's coming out of it. I mean, my Roku has gained sentience and has started smoking a cigarette.
What if Fossum was like actually just a front for like, you know, IMF? Like, I imagine Ethan Hunt like going up to like a Roku, downloading Fossum, and instead of Alucarda, the one movie that's on the service, it's like, hello, Mr. Hunt.
he's looking for both cuts of Alucarda. He has the no nudity cut, and then he has the only nudity. He has to get the key to combine both cuts to get the whole movie.
Yeah, and it was weird that the file size for Alucarda was 38 terabytes. I don't know what data was being held.
Yeah, and because it was so funny because we were all expecting it to be 666 megabytes.
Right, right.
Yeah. Well, that'll do it for Alucarda. I wish.
Wait. Do you guys know Alucarda is like, drop the A, it's Dracula backwards?
Whoa!
had to get that in there. No one said it.
Which was, I mean, I just thought that was funny after I watched it. It didn't bother me, but it was like, well, there was no Dracula stuff. Like
she
does Justine bite somebody.
Bites a neck.
But that's
I
it.
I guess so. I guess so.
It's good enough.
Yeah. Which, yeah. I mean... I mean, it's
there
just
was
so funny,
a lot
like,
of blood. When she bit the neck, there was like...
Yeah,
blood,
that was like, that was fun. Blah, that was cool.
Blah, blah.
Yeah. Well, I'm just going to end this episode by spreading the good word of Fossum. Check it out, folks. I don't know if it's available only on Roku or what, but check it out. I'm kind of torn now if I want to rewatch the movie with the uncut movie. I don't know if I want
give
to
give it
now.
Time give it time and like give it a few weeks and like maybe when you're high watch it or something.
All right, well there you go, folks. There's Alucard.
It's so short, like it's so short. Why not?
Yeah, that is
true.
A benefit.
One day you're
gonna
be
movie.
Like I got 70 minutes.
Yeah,
that is a benefit of the movie. It's very short, like
and
if
you've already seen like a lot of it, so you can kind of tune out or whatever, but then
yeah, like if you're on a plane or if you're maybe in the DMV waiting for your ticket,
don't watch
to come
this
up,
on a plane. Don't watch this in public.
No, watch it in public right. And spread
no,
the good word. The
like,
good word of Beelzebub.
You don't want to be that guy watching. Like,
if you're looking to get put on a list,
yeah,
you should.
If you
want to
be kicked out of the plane,
watch it in a goth club. We'll say
yeah.
That.
Yeah,
the only place in public you can watch it is the library.
I'd say like a basement. Or a bar.
A public basement.
Watch it in your basement. Maybe hang basement. Up like a banner of like a pentagram or something to give some ambiance to the room.
Light some candles. You know,
light some candles. That'd be cool. Watch it naked. You know, get into the mood.
Put a goat head on.
Put a goat head on. Yeah. But again,
self-flagellate.
But we gotta highly recommend you do not watch the YouTube version. You won't go full evil.
Yeah, don't watch the YouTube version. That sounds like it was probably some religious fanatics made that cut.
Yeah. Well, that'll do it for this episode of the Apocalypse Video Podcast. And you know what? Even though I saw a neuter version, this kind of served as a good little primer for Shocktober coming up. It's like it's right on the precipice of happening, folks. Shocktober What's this going to be? 3, I believe.
It's October 3.
The 3rd.
It's October the 3rd. What will the theme be? We don't know, but it will certainly be evil. We'll see you next time when Shocktober comes to pass.
That was a good evil laugh.
I know. I'm kind of surprised I pulled that off.
You killed it. You really got inspired by Alucarda.